So this is number 113 from Dogen's 300 Cases book, The Record of the True Dharma Eye. And the case is titled, Blocking the Eyes, Ears, and Mind. And it reads like this. Dijong asked a monastic, how does your teacher present the Buddha Dharma? The monastic said, once our teacher Bao Fu told the assembly, I cover your eyes to let you see what is not seen. I cover your ears to let you hear what is not heard. And I restrain your mind to let you give up thinking. Dijong said to the monastic, let me ask you, when I don't cover your eyes, what do you see? When I don't cover your ears, what do you hear? And when I don't restrain your mind, what do you discern? Upon hearing these words, the monk had realization. So before getting to this dialogue, let me remind you a little bit about Dijong, who famously said to the young pilgrim Fei Yan, not knowing is most intimate. Dijong lived in the 9th and 10th century. At an early age, he was known for his quick tongue and caring attitude, refusing without any prompting to eat meat or fish. His initial monastic practice was focused on the Vinaya, the rules and ethics of monastic Buddhism. But as a still young man, he realized that not breaking the rules and following the precepts did not lead to awakening. He then traveled about looking for a different style of teaching and finally came to Swansha, who he stayed with. I'd like to read you one of their exchanges that has an echo with today's case. And this is number 203 in Dogen's True Dharma Eye. Swansha said to the assembly, elders in various places all talk about interacting with and benefiting all beings. If you encounter a person with three disabilities, how will you guide that person? Even if you take up the mallet or raise a whisk, the blind do not see. Even if you speak eloquently, the deaf do not hear. And even if you ask them to speak, the mute cannot speak. How will you guide them? And if you cannot guide them, the Buddha Dharma has no power or efficacy for the way. At that time, Dijong was in the assembly. He came forward and said, dear teacher, I have eyes and ears. Please, how do you guide me? Swansha said, what a pity. And then he returned to the abbot's room. What do you make of Dijong's response? Was his an eloquent statement? Dear teacher, Please guide me. I have eyes and ears. Is his the samadhi of language? And if so, why did Swansha respond as he did? Eventually, Swansha encouraged Dijun to take up the teaching mantle, which he did at the Earth Store Temple, Dijun. And after many years of teaching, or after many years of teaching hundreds of students, he died. And on his death, he was given the posthumous title Zen Master, True Response. What a pity. And then he returned to the abbot's room. Zen Master, True Response. In today's case, Dijang asked a monk, how does your teacher present the Buddha Dharma? The monastic said, once our teacher said to the assembly, I cover your eyes to let you see what is not seen. I cover your ears to let you hear what is not heard. And I restrain your mind to let you give up thinking. Dijang said to the monastic, let me ask you, when I don't cover your eyes, what do you see? When I don't cover your ears, what do you hear? When I don't restrain your mind, what do you discern? And upon hearing these words, the monk had realization. In a way, these are two very different teaching styles. The monk's teacher, Baofu, said, whatever you hear, that is not it. Whatever you see, not it. Whatever you think, that isn't it. Nette, nette, nette. No. 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 That is the royal road of the negative, via negativa. What is Buddha? Not mind. Not Buddha, not beings. In a sense, this was Bodhidharma's pathway when he met the emperor. He was asked what the primary principle of the holy teachings were, and he said, no holy. When asked who he was, the reply was, don't know. The Diamond Sutra says, the Buddha does not have the 32 marks of the Buddha. The Buddha does not have a bump in the middle of his forehead, as Buddhas do. He doesn't have the long earlobes, as Buddhas do. He does not have any of the attributes of a Buddha. And so the sutra says he is called the Buddha. This is also the way of Chong Shui, who is solitary and destitute. In his practice and life, he'd given up everything. So when coming to his teacher, he said, I am Chong Shui, solitary and destitute. Please give me alms. He had with each horizon given it up, surrendered. His practice was, this is not it. This is not it. This is not it in his search for the antecedent of it. This is the world of religious solitude and poverty. And this path can lead into and hopefully through the valley of death. As one walks into the valley, a narrowing desert canyon, each thing carried becomes too heavy in the ever-glaring, blazing sun. There is no water, no shade, and too few places to take refuge. And so you leave behind anything you can to lighten the too heavy load. You let go of. You drop psychological and emotional attachments. You let go of and drop mental constructs, and so on. You let go saying again and again that this isn't necessary. This isn't me. This isn't. Isn't. However, what is not dropped is the schedule. Your daily practices schedule or the retreat schedule. And you do not drop the form of Zazen, Dokusan, and Teisho. The 14th century Catholic mystic Meister Eckhart said about this condition, and it is a condition only, that you must be as free from your creature will as you were when you had not yet been born. For by the everlasting truth, as long as you will to do God's will and yearn for eternity and God, and we might say, yearn for liberation and freedom, or peace and love, or calm or joy, or you can fill in the blank. But if you yearn, you are not really poor, for she who is poor wills nothing, knows nothing, and wants nothing. Bodhidharma was asked who he was, and he replied, "Don't know." Another ancestor said, "Not mind. Not Buddha, not beings." But as I said, you do not drop the schedule or the form of Zazen. They are your refuge to guide you when there is nothing else left. And although I did, all do not need to travel this way. Maybe a divorce, a poor diagnosis, an early death nearby, an accident, or simply a mysterious affinity. And then this way opens up and demands, and you need follow and endure. But Dijon holds out another possibility, the way of allowing each thing. So Ba Fu took away each and all, and Dijon allows each and all. But before commenting on Dijon's way, I'd like to mention a non-scientific study done decades ago. One group of mature practitioners, and the number was fairly small, were hooked up to body measuring paraphernalia to track brain activity as they sat zazen. And as they sat zazen, a small bell was rung regularly and at set intervals every few minutes. And throughout the hours of zazen, through the morning, through the afternoon, and into the evening, every time the bell was rung, the brain, the body responded to the sound with a slight increase in wave activity. And this was Dijon's way. Each sound, each smell, each sensation. Another group, a different sect, again, with a small number of mature participants, were wired similarly. And after a few sequences of activity when the bell was struck, they showed no responsive activities. Their wave stayed steady, no matter the outside conditions. And this was Bao Fu's way, the practice of closing the holes, closed ear, nose, tongue, etc. And I'd like to note that study may only be a non-existent legend of a particular era. But those truly are two very different ways of practice. Open to each thing, closed to each thing. Each is mu, or nothing but mu. So to me, and probably to most of you, but not all, it is obvious which might be the better path for lay people, we who are immersed in day-to-day life, immersed in relationships, immersed in sounds, smells, and a ticking clock. There is certainly some abandoning necessary on our path, a letting go of, but there need be much including, much responding, and much reimagining in these lives we have been given. Dijon asked a monastic what his teacher taught. The monk said, "My teacher Ba Fu said, I cover your eyes to let you see what is not seen. I cover your ears to let you hear what is not heard. And I restrain your mind to let you give up thinking. So no matter what arises, move. No matter what is seen, move. Not that the thing seen is move, but just move. No matter what is heard, move. Not that the bird is calling move, but just move. No matter what is thought, move. Each thought, move. Just move. This is a rigorous, demanding, singularly focused body mind. Move. Or number one. Or number two. With no thought of before or after. With nothing of beginning or end. No possibility of success or failure. There is only room, space for one simple, specific, immediate fact. Move. And this is to let you see, hear, and ultimately know the sun at midnight. Dijang then said to the monk, let me ask you, when I don't cover your eyes, what do you see? When I don't cover your ears, what do you hear? When I don't restrain your mind, what do you discern? Now, this approach might sound much more reasonable, maybe easier, possibly more gentle. But really, is it? Dijang seems to be teaching ordinary mind is the Tao, things as they are. It is what it is. But ordinary, taken at its essential root, means eternal. It is the absolute given of each thing, the absolute of each moment, the absolute of each nen. Ordinary means nothing added or subtracted. Ordinary means no old age and death and no ending of old age and death. Ordinary means no stain, no purity. Ordinary is not just wandering down the road, led by the unnoticed dictates, biases, and leanings of your family, culture, and historical perspectives. It is not just eating breakfast, washing and drying, and putting dishes away. It is more ordinary than even that. It is, in a sense, looking across the fields of our ordinary minds. Looking across the fields of our ordinary perceptions and rewilding them, allowing your moonlit mind to shine, allowing your moonlit mind to shine in your activities as those activities, to shine on objects as your very own self. Dogen in Being Time wrote, set the self out in array and embody the the entire world, for it is your own self. This is the beginning of rewilding the ordinary fields of life and death. This is living with uncovered eyes, with uncovered ears, and an uncovered mind. Zazen itself, sitting up straight with a relaxed belly and back, a tipped in chin, and natural breathing gently focused on your one specific practice, is itself both the wild fields and its rewilding. Please sit right between this and not this, between sound and silence, born and unborn, between being and non-being, for that is Zazen, the fields rewilding. So with the practice and guidance of Bafu and the uncovering words of Dijon, the monk had realization. But I wonder, what did he realize?